God put himself into that position so that you would never be lonely again forever.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Dan, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we give hope for those who are lonely. How can God's word help us with loneliness? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Dan, showing us that Christ became lonely for us. Thanks for listening.
One out of two of us, either you or me, are lonely, or maybe don't feel content in our relationships. That's sad. But the good news is that you're not alone, ironically, because over half of people feel this way. And the question for a Christian in this setting particularly might be this: does God have anything to say about loneliness? Because you can be in a very busy place. You can feel very lonely at your work. You can feel very lonely at school, and you can even have a lot of friends on Facebook and still be lonely. Does God have anything to say about loneliness? And does God have a solution for loneliness? And the answer is yes and yes, but probably not in the way that you want to imagine the answer being yes and yes. He has even more powerful answers about loneliness than you could ever imagine. Does God say anything about loneliness in his word? Yes. In fact, all of his word is about eternal loneliness, the loneliness that we have as a sinner who say, I break relationship with you, God, a loneliness that began at the garden and a loneliness that was between individuals and God, between nations and God, a loneliness and an isolation that God said, because you have chosen to be away from me in relationship, you're going to be lonely. But not just lonely like we take surveys lonely, you're going to be eternally lonely. There's not any hope past this life for you. Lonely. And that's a terrible lonely. It really is to think and to live with this unrest in our hearts that there's no life beyond this life with God. And so, yes, God has something to say with loneliness. And even more amazingly, God says this: I know loneliness because I made myself lonely. God came to earth in the person of Jesus. And hardly anybody understood him for most of his life. Remember at age 12, he was lost, or supposedly lost. I just had we were at the Mall of America on a short vacation a couple weeks ago, and we went up to the desk there, and they said, we said, what are we gonna do if we lose our kids? And they kind of looked at us and they said, you don't lose your kids, adults get lost. Kids don't not get lost, but your kids are gonna be fine. Remember Jesus getting lost at the temple? Mary and Joseph saying, we lost him. No, they got lost. Jesus wasn't understood by his mother. I have to be about my father's business. He wasn't understood by his mother. He lived a very lonely life, but he lived it with God the Father the whole time. He was in prayer with him all of the time because he had that perfect connection with him. He never sinned once. Throughout his ministry, the crowds didn't understand him. He went away, and what did he do? He prayed to God his Father because he knew that ultimate loneliness was not abandoned by his Father. But here's where Jesus goes even farther and God goes even farther into our loneliness. That at the very moment when Jesus needed his friends and his disciples to be there, what did they do? They left him. And when his best friend or one of his best friends had an opportunity to speak up for him, he didn't. And when he hung on the cross and he said the words, my God, what did he say?
Why have you forsaken?
He was isolated and alone. Unlike any way that you and I would ever be surveyed to be, because God put his wrath on him. But here's the beauty. He did that isolation to bring us to him. Now, I went to all of that history about God and God's loneliness because God put himself into that position so that you would never be lonely again forever. And that's the first and greatest point of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And I know this is a long way to get into Ephesians chapter 4, but Ephesians is just this beautiful little book. I mean, it's written by Paul, and he starts off with this passage about the connection and the relationship that we have with God in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which many of you might know by heart. It is by grace you're saved through faith. This is not of yourself. gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. That's Jesus on the cross saying, I'm isolated and God has turned his face away from me, so he would never turn his face away from you, Dan, from you, Nelson, from you, Leah, and so that you have an eternal home with him forever. Now, that's the first loneliness that God confronts in his word, and it's the most important one. But as you unfold and you go into the next verse in Ephesians 9, you go into verse 10. Already you understand that you and I are not made to be alone. And we're not made to hang on to verse 8 and 9 and go live in a monastery somewhere, or just to pull back from society. But actually in verse 10, it says this, that you and I are created as God's handiwork. Like he's in the workshop working on you before time even began, and he gives you the hair color that you have, and he gives you the gifts that you have, he gives you the talents that you have, he gives you the very specific things that make you you. And he says, I've made you underneath that grace to be a part of a community to do good works. And you say, well, I'm doing good works for God. Of course you're doing good works for God, but in a really practical way, who are you doing them to and for? You're doing them for your neighbor. And that's where the rest of Ephesians unfolds and makes a lot of sense. The rest of chapter 2 talks about your Jews and your Gentiles over here, but don't think about yourselves so differently. You're different for sure, but underneath the body and the grace of Christ, you all work together as one body. Chapter 3 is the same way. Enjoy the community that you're in, and you might not have the same skin color as another person. You might not have the same background. You might not have the same skill set. You might not have the same ethnicity, but you're underneath the head, which is Christ, and you're being built together into his temple. And that's the community that God puts you in. It's a community that starts with God's grace, and then once you have that purpose, it's a community that lives out and rebuilds relationships with others. And so you have in later, even past the verses that we have today, you have husbands and wives, servants and masters, all of these relationships working together. In the song that we sang before, it was us, God, you know, we're forgiven. We have this grace, Ephesians 8 and 9. Now, God, make us work. Make my life of reflection. Make my life a sacrifice and an offering to you. And so with that, Paul says this. He says in verse 7 of chapter 4, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace is given to all of us. It's the grace that comes from the cross. It is finished. It is forgiven. It's been given to each and every one of us. But here's what Paul is saying. Like God, who's the chef of a great banquet and a meal, and he sees every person come through. He knows exactly what he needs to put on your plate better than you know what you need to put on your plate, or I know what I need to put on my plate. He scoops out just the right portion for you. And he crafts you and he makes you just the right way. So you and I, he's saying, each one of us has different gifts and we've been apportioned different gifts. Pastor Dan has a different gift than Ron, has a different gift than Myrna, has a different gift. And it goes on and on. But we don't look at it as a competition. We look at it as more of what? The body of Christ that's being built up. So grace is free and it's full and it's forgiven for all people, but our gifts are apportioned differently. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lowly earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. This is a quote in verse 8 from Psalm 68. And if you go back to Psalm 68, you might say the wording is different in Psalm 68, and you're right. But Paul, as an inspired exegete of this text, he understands what the whole psalm is saying. And the whole psalm is basically a prophetic psalm that's talking about the work of Jesus in the future. And so many years before Jesus came, the psalm said there's going to be this figure that's going to come and he's going to defeat. And when he defeats the enemy, he's going to have a victory party. And when he comes back from the victory party, he's going to hand out gifts like a victor would, the spoils of war. And you know that Jesus did the same thing. We just heard it before. He came from heaven. He came into our pitiful little earth that we ruined and we messed up and we broke relationship with God and with other people, and he mended it at the cross. And he didn't just mend it at the cross, but when he rose from the dead, he he said, victory over Satan, victory over death, victory over this world. I'm going to hand out gifts before I go back to heaven. And as he ascended, and Paul alludes to that right here, the Ascension Day is a day that he gives gifts. And the gifts that he gives are his spirit, and he's going to give them in a very specific packaging. But the packaging is different for every person. And you're part of that. Okay? This is what he says. To all people of all time who have faith in Jesus, he's giving these gifts. So Christ himself gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You caught it right there. All of the different leaders that Christ gave to his church. Jesus' ascension is a gift, and that gift includes his leaders, and his leaders equip you. The apostles and the prophets, they're lumped together in a group right there. Those were God's gift to his people in the early church who spoke exactly from God. They were prophets and apostles like the 12 disciples of Jesus. Later, another one was added after Judas killed himself. But these people had a certain gift. And what God gave them was the ability to speak exactly what they saw and heard from Jesus, but then to speak from God himself, to be the voice of God to the people, or the messengers of God to his church. But those people had a different gift than the evangelists. Evangelists were tasked with very specific and preaching of the gospel. And we don't know exactly what that all meant, but we know that a couple evangelists were named Stephen. Do you remember what happened to him? He was the first martyr. Another evangelist that we hear of in the New Testament is Philip. Do you remember he did outreach and he baptized an Ethiopian eunuch? And then another one that we hear about is Timothy. So here's another gift to God's people. They aren't the apostles and prophets, but they're evangelists, people that go out and spread the good news. And then there's pastors and teachers, people that are tasked, it seems like at this time, a shepherd of people that would gather people. Maybe there was some administration involved, but teaching had a very systematic way of laying out doctrine to people so that they could understand what the apostles were saying. It was already happening here. And later on, this is an early epistle, later on in what we call the prison letters, Paul would even talk about deacons, and he would talk about bishops. And so these gifts are developing throughout the ages, and God keeps giving these gifts again and again, and they all do different things, because a pastor is supposed to be a gift to you, he says here. And a pastor's work, whatever it is in the way that you've called him to be here today to serve you, is to serve you and to be a gift to you. Now here's where the rubber hits the road. You're you, and I'm me, and I'm lumped together in a way with what one of the gifts that God has given to you. But what is God's gift to you, a pastor or a leader, a spiritual leader, and what are they called to do for you, according to this text? Did you catch it? To equip you for works of service. To equip you. That means that my job isn't just up here to be a mouthpiece, which is one of my jobs, but actually to say, what is it about you, the way that God crafted you, the way that God made you, the way that he put you together, what is it about that way that he put you together that I can help activate? In other words, the gifts that you receive is a challenge from God. The challenge is that the person that I'm working with, and I'm a sinner too, and I mess up, but that person that he's put in my life is there to challenge me to be a part of the body of Christ with whatever God has given me. That means that this person in front of me is going to have to be transparent with me, and I'm going to have to be able to trust them, and I'm going to have to be able to be transparent with them about what I can and can't do. Or about the way that, and you nudge him and you say, Pastor, you know that you're here to equip me. You know that you're here to make me shine. And I say, I'm a sinner. And you know what I need? I need a relationship with God that is grace. I need forgiveness. And you need forgiveness. And this is where it comes back to a true community starts with a connection to God through grace. And that's through his son, Jesus. And if you know that I'm covered by grace and I'm a gift, and I know that you're a gift, covered by grace, we can go forward and we can do anything for the kingdom without fear of each other or without wondering whether we're whether we have ulterior motives. When Christ is the head and we keep preaching this from the pulpit and teaching it and believing it and knowing it in our hearts, there's nothing we can't do for the kingdom. He gives gifts, and that's the beautiful thing. At this time when Jesus is leaving his disciples and going away and they're freaking out, I would be. Jesus says, I'm actually going to make you stronger by giving you my Holy Spirit through these gifts, and they're all grace. So number one, Jesus' ascension gifts include leaders to equip you. Number two, we'll get to that after we read verse 14 and the following. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Do you see another gift that we have together? When we dig into the Word of God together, when you have a pastor that's trained, but then a pastor who has equipped with elders, we can make each other stronger and know for sure when we dig into the Word of God what we're seeing and what we're believing. Okay? Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Christ's community, the community that he creates, is a supportive community, and that's the community that he wants you in. I remember doing a piece in, we used to have a newsletter that went out to this neighborhood around us called North Acres. It was the North Acres Homeowners Association something or another. I forgot the name of it. They stopped publishing it about 2 years ago, but they asked me to write a monthly piece. I never got any feedback, but I would write something and I'd kind of sprinkle in the gospel when I could. And one of the things I said that I appreciate about Christian community and community in general, I think the Christian community should herald this, is that community isn't just what you get out of it. And this was the quote, community isn't just what you get out of it, it's what you put into it. And I finally heard back from somebody, I think I had written like 12 articles, and they finally, somebody emailed me and said, Pastor, that one thing about community, that really got to me. And I thought, wow, somebody's listening, all right. But I want you to think about that. Community, in my generation especially, community isn't just what you get out of it, but it's what you put into it. And the call of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10 and following, including this part right here, is that when you put yourself into a position to serve another person, you're entering into real community, because that's the community that God creates, because he served you first. And when you go into that community, you're going to see the richness of grace, because you're going to have to practice it. You're going to see the richness of sacrifice, because you're going to feel it. And you're going to see the richness of friendship, because it's there by grace already in the body of Christ, regardless of who you're working with and what you're doing. I know that you are going to be in heaven someday, and I know that you want all of your friends and your neighbors and your community to be in heaven someday too. But you go places I can't go, and you have talents that I don't have. We have a great need to care for people in our church, in our community, to pray with them, to be at their doorstep, to cook them a dish. I can't cook. I can't be everywhere at once. I don't have unlimited time, but I'll be your eyes if you'll be my arms. I love music. I'm not really good at music. I love different sorts of music, but I can't play different sorts of music. Luther once said that next to doctrine, music is the one thing that made him happy, that was a rich gift from God. But you know what? Not everybody's musical. And not everybody can sing the songs that I like, and I can't even sing the songs really well that you like, but I'll be your eyes if you'll be my arms. And together we'll be the body of Christ. And we'll worship together, and we'll care for people together, the way that God called us to care for each other and for one another. And we'll call people to Christ and that ultimate relationship with him in heaven, because he loved us first. So if you're lonely, Remember, number one, God was lonely for you, and it's by grace that you're saved. And if you miss community, remember God made you to be just the way that you are, to put you into community, to give you spiritual guides and leaders along the way to push you and to encourage you and to show you that the community that you are in is a community that God wants you to work in and to bless others and to enjoy the fellowship that we have, because although you can't be the eyes, you can be the arms. And when we fail as the arms, or when we fail as the eyes, we can remember who's the head? The one who forgives us. In his name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.